I have scriptures sometimes called the Old Testament, a story that I haven't read in an awful long time, so I had to go back to it today. It's found in the book of Daniel, written thousands of years ago. It speaks of the Jewish people of that day living in a foreign land under a foreign king and people. The king at that time was King Nebuchadnezzar, who was quite cruel and a quite cruel and unreasonable king who would fly into rages and oppress certain groups of people, not unlike governments do today. At one point, he had this very huge golden statue, which was 90 feet tall, made and set it up in a very public place and dedicated it. And then he demanded that whenever horns or instruments were played, everyone was to fall down and worship that statue. Whoever didn't do this was to be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. So the people did it. Every time the horns blew, the people bowed down to this golden idol. There were, however, those who worship the God of their understanding who would not fall down in front of this golden idol. He had a few of them who were serving in quite high places in his government. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to this golden idol. And King Nebuchadnezzar, regardless of how well they had served him, flew into a rage when he heard they wouldn't bow down to a golden idol and said, throw them into the fire, throw them into the furnace. And so they were brought in front of the king, who sat there and watched while they were thrown into the fire. He had them stoke up the fire 7 times hotter than it usually is stoked up and sat in front of the fire, this furnace. And The guards who grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took them to the furnace, and when they opened the door, they were consumed because the fire was so hot. And they let go of the men who fell into the furnace. They shut the door quickly. And then something strange happened. The king, who was watching what was going on, saw not 3, but 4 people walking around in the furnace. 3 men and somebody, it says, who looked very godlike as he looked on. So he called out to these men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. And they stepped out of the furnace, not a hair on their heads had been singed. These 3 humans would not conform to what the state and society told them they must do, and they would not assimilate into the mainstream. They chose integrity over giving up who they were. They chose to be their authentic selves and stay true to what they believed, even though there was a threat of death. James Baldwin, who was an African-American writer and civil rights activist, wrote that you have to decide who you are and force the world to deal with you, not with its idea of you. Society does often try to force the 2SLGBTQIA community into some mold and force them to be not true to themselves in order to fit in, whatever fitting in means. This biblical story reminds us that we don't have to conform if it means not being ourselves. And it teaches us that there is strength in solidarity if we are true to ourselves and find people who will stand with us up against the powers. Secondly, we are reminded that we have a responsibility to stand up to any power structures that are unfair and unjust. This is now part of our role as an affirming congregation. Positive change can happen if there are enough people who say, enough, it's not right. It is okay not to conform to something that makes no sense and does damage to anyone trying to lead an honest and authentic life. Let's face it, we all struggle to fit in sometimes, some more than others. Some are put into the fiery furnaces of public opinion and shamed for who they are. They are bullied, ridiculed, misunderstood, and rejected. All of us want to live our lives for who we are and be accepted for who we are. And we want to be loved and understood for who we are. And that's what we want to do in this community going forward. Listen, understand, and support all who choose this community as their faith home. We will do it imperfectly. I know we will. We have a lot to learn and a lot to understand. We will learn to walk in our truth and prepare to disagree with others when they confront us because of the stand we take. And we'll do it because of all who deserve to live their lives as they are. And we will all be proud of who we are and resist all forms of hate in whatever form they come. God is love, and God loves all. And it starts today with this celebration. We hope we will continue on with this. I'm going to invite Shane to come up. And Shane and I are going to have a little conversation. Before. But do you want to perform first? Okay, let's do it. Before Shane and I have this conversation, Shane is going to share with us as well.
Hi.
Hi.
There.
Okay, great. So Shane agreed to be interviewed without having questioned it in advance. So thank you for that.
No worries.
Shane and I have been, I've been here 17 years, I think almost close from the beginning.
1997 we moved here.
Yeah, and I've only been here since 2007, so 10 years before me. Let's start with something easy. What are your preferred pronouns?
Well, for myself, some of you know me outside of these rooms. My government name is Shanna McPherson. My mother's in the back. Sorry, Mom, I'm going to out you here.
Gail.
Hi, Ma. But my drag name is Shane on you. Mm-hmm. I use all pronouns all the time, so you can't get it wrong with me. But it is very important to ask. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah, and why is it important to ask?
When you ask somebody what their pronouns are, you're validating their life experience. And the biggest one, you're showing them that you are safe. Because they could tell right away if you're safe, right? And if you start off with your pronouns, whether that's verbally or written, we love to see that. That makes us feel safer. So,
is that the same with names you've chosen?
Yes. Yep. If we use picked a name for ourselves, it is very important that you don't use a dead name.
Dead name?
What's that?
Explain dead name.
A dead name is the name that they were given at birth that they no longer choose to use. Does anybody know a reason why people might not choose to use their birth name? Yes. I didn't hear what you said.
Might be associated with somebody you don't want to be associated with.
Yeah, could be that. It also might not signify their gender. It could be, like, I was kind of lucky with Shannon because it's actually a male name, and I kind of converted it to a tomboy name as I was growing up, and now that I'm a trans man. But when someone changes their name and you use that dead name, the name they were given, you're actually not, you're taking away the person that they feel they are inside. You're telling them, you are not who you think you are what this says. We don't get to do that. You probably know how you feel inside, just the way I know I feel inside. Right? So that's why.
Great, thank you. Now, when did you know that you were not part of the heteronormative community?
Well, I'd have to say I was probably in my mind probably questioning it when my brother was in high school, so I would have been in junior high. There was a girl in a play that he was doing that I had a crush on and I didn't quite understand it. So it kind of developed from there. I didn't come out back then. I'm in my 50s, and you don't come out in the 80s. You just didn't. It wasn't safe to be out then. So I didn't come out until I was almost 30 to the friends. My mom actually outed me to me when I was 19. Because I told her, and I knew that. You know, some parents know. They can tell. So.
Is it pretty common, though, around puberty, around that
age?
Yeah,
and it can be earlier. And I know everybody's all up on the sexual side of it. It can be just being drawn to a person. It doesn't have to be anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, when I used to hang around with boys, it wasn't because of anything naughty. It was because I wanted to see how they acted so I could act like that. You know, it wasn't, we don't need to, kids don't think like we do. We overcomplicate everything, and they're still pure, right? And they're still trying to keep it that way. Mm. And we seem to think that we can make it better. They have pure hearts, and if you listen to them, you'd be surprised in what you could learn.
Thanks. What are the challenges? What were your challenges? What are the challenges today that are keeping people from being themselves, that are keeping people from being authentic themselves?
Well, I'd like to say it was different than the 80s now. It was for a little while. We're kind of sliding a little bit backwards. They're using the same tired tropes. All they've done is replace all the homophobic slurs with transphobic slurs, but they're sexualizing the community the same way they did in the 80s. By saying that because we're gay, we're inherently sexual. That's what we face every day. I have a troupe that's all ages. My youngest performer is 9. My oldest performer is 65. And these people face this every day. Every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been going through, is this battle of people saying that we are just a sexualized community and we don't know anything about life and we don't know how to raise kids, or we can't do drag shows for all ages because we don't know the difference between 18 and under. Like, it's just silly stuff. So this is all the kind of stuff we deal with on top of just the general hate, or, I'm going to be blunt, the religious community has persecuted us for years, still does in many, many aspects. And it's nice to see some churches stepping up. Hate to say it, you guys got a long way to go, because we are fearful of the churches. For the most part. A lot of us know that United's on the right path, but still, like, it's not up to us to come to you to educate you. It's you gotta come to us and find out what our world's like. That's what affirming means. That's what it means, that you're willing to learn and get educated by people like me, right? To come in here and tell you that it's not good out there. It is not good out there. I have had White Lives Matter dox me for being me, for being who I am. And I wouldn't hurt a fly. I wouldn't.
I had somebody who I interviewed several years ago with mental health issues, right? And he came and talked about, you know, the prejudice against people with mental health, and that they're more dangerous than others, or they're trying to convert others into something or whatever. And I think the queer community gets the same, you know, like you're trying to bring in whatever, you know, bring in young people, that sort of thing. You don't change people's gender or sexual orientation by converting them to something, do you?
We don't go into the schools and make your children gay. We go in and we show that we exist, so that if they do not feel safe at home or somewhere else, they know there's people out there like them. There's lots of ways to reach out to us in different ways. I have people who message me, young people all the time, looking for help. So there's a lot of work to do, for sure.
Absolutely. So what is the climate like in Okotoks for the community in Alberta, rural areas?
We were doing good. We were doing really well. I don't know if you've noticed, but since the pandemic, hate is really, really elevated and loud now. So some of the things that we've been trying to do out here to counteract that is, because we get it a lot. My family is full queer people, right from the parents down. So, you know, what we try to do to battle that, was it last year? We've done it 2 years in a row, but it started 2 years ago. They were doing a big anti-mask, anti-vax, save the children rally right behind mine and Janet's and Mom's house. So Naomi and I, my partner, we decided we were going to rent up the space because they didn't book it. So we called the town and we booked it, and we had a Mother's Gay picnic that day. And we took the space that they were going to be in. These are the things that need to be done to tell them they aren't wanted. Back rooms, you need to speak up. If you have a family member, you know, you don't have to be, take part in that. You know, you see all this stuff, and I'm going to bring this in right now. You see all this stuff about Trump and people are losing their family because they voted for Trump. That's what has happened to us for years. You're losing your family because you don't care for us, right? You think that we're bad, not you people in general, but society has put this stigma on us, right? So it keeps us sick and keeps us out. That's why we're so fearful of the broader society. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, that's great. Thanks, Shane. And I just want to mention also the suicide levels are much higher for people with mental health or people who can't be authentically themselves. Is that correct?
100%. 100%. I can tell you right now, trans rates of suicide have gone up clear across North America, especially in the States, but it started here as well. As soon as Danielle got in, pardon my...
politics.
Yes. The death rates for trans and queer youth already have gone up. The policy, the legislation that she's brought in is barely a day old. So what's going to happen when this policy's in and they have no choice? When my children, who some of them are under 18, can't get the care that they need. And I'm not talking full-on surgeries. That's not happening to kids that are under 18. If somebody's told you that, those happen in rare occasions, and they're usually to cis people for other reasons, breast reductions, all sorts of things. So I'd encourage you to learn more about gender-affirming care, that kind of stuff. These things are huge, because when Danielle gets in, these kids don't get those choices anymore. They can't. They can't be their own pronouns at school. They can't come out with a name that they want to choose because possibly at home they could get the crap kicked out of them, right? That's not fair. That's not safe. That's not protecting children. I don't care what you say. It's not. You're not protecting them from the people that have straight up strength and power to abuse them daily, right? It's their parents. It's the family around them can be the sickest. So it's no time to be silent anymore. Those days are gone. If you're in a back room and you hear something said, you need to stand up if you consider yourself an ally of any minority. I don't care what it is. We can't be silent anymore. Silence is death. I've watched it in my community.
Okay, that's pretty clear. I was going to ask you what we could do to help you, but you just said what that is. Shane, we appreciate your honesty and where you're at.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that you're here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Sure.
Love you.
I appreciate it. I love you, too. We are now going to participate in a litany of apologies.